While our journey with Jesus continues through this 10th chapter of Luke's Gospel, at the beginning of the month, a few weeks ago, we heard how Jesus turned his face to Jerusalem, chapter 9, verse 51, and sent messengers ahead of him. This was a shift in Luke's Gospel. It was the journey of Jesus heading ultimately to his death. He was doing his mission. The mission, what it was said, when the time came for Jesus to be taken up back to the Father, he had a very strong sense of going to the Father, his mission. And so, he went on. The next week, we heard how Jesus sent 72 messengers ahead of him, preaching, giving him a sense, testing out those early disciples and bearers of the good news. Last week, we heard at the beginning of this chapter, Chapter 10, a question. What must I do to gain eternal life? Response, love God, love your neighbor, love yourself. And then Jesus, of course, told the story of the Good Samaritan. How to love one's neighbor, of course. Well, this is a continuation. Today's gospel, Martha and Mary, is a continuation of this chapter. It's a continuation of the question, how do we learn to love God? Love neighbor, love ourselves. Maybe it's learning how to listen to ourselves. How to listen, Martha. How to listen. Mary learned how to listen. Martha still learned, was learning. Of course, it's hospitality. Who wouldn't want to have a guest, certainly as Jesus, to worry about the food and pots and pans and all sorts of things of being a good host? Martha is missing something else. See, what's going on with Luke? Luke, one of the themes of Luke's gospel, he's empowering women. He's creating a new consciousness. And Martha, in the context of the ancient Palestinian world, was a woman was to wait on people, particularly men, and stay in the kitchen. Martha is at the seat beside Jesus. Of course, Lazarus is somewhere, but Lazarus, remember, Lazarus is the brother of Martha and Mary. But he's not part of this conversation. The focus is really on Martha. Martha, I'm inviting you to something unique. Are you aware of it? You are doing many good things, Martha, no question about it. But I'm inviting you to the greater good. In the Jesuit world, we call magis. Admirum Dei Gloria. What is the greater good to which we invite? Because that's where we're getting a new awareness of our learning to love God, love our neighbor, love ourselves. This is something, is a mystery. And what Jesus is speaking with to Mary about is the mystery of life, the mystery of Mary's life, the mystery of Mary's relationship with Jesus' life. Martha's distracted. How often are we distracted with problems and worries? What we're invited to do at times, because we do have to worry about pots and pans and food, we're invited to learn to listen to ourselves and our neighbors about the mystery of life. The other night, perhaps some of you saw it, I had the privilege with thousands of others to be down at the mall. And I saw the splendor of the celebration of Apollo 11 being projected on the Washington Monument. And you literally saw a video of the actual liftoff on the Washington Monument. The rocket went up the Washington Monument. The men came down the Washington Monument and landed on the moon. For 17 minutes, and then there was other displays. You can look it up on YouTube. It's a real meditation. And there have been a lot of shows the last couple weeks. But what it really points to, one of the ways, is a great problem was solved after decades of hard work, thousands of people, lots of money, but science had a problem. Problems solved. And we were celebrating that. And as we were celebrating, with thousands gathered, and we're walking away, a mystery appeared. the moon was rising in golden splendor on the horizon. And one could not help but think, yes, humanity landed on the moon. Problems were solved. But the mystery of our relation to the moon continues. It's a contemplative offering that empowers our human consciousness through mystery to solve problems. And what Jesus is saying to Mary, to Martha, focus on the mystery and the problems will be following through. Have a focus then on what is the most important in our lives, and problems will be put in order. Easier said than done. How often I remember growing up, I'm a little bit of a clan, there were eight of us around the dinner table, six of us children. I was the youngest, so I'm sort of at the end scene. But my mother was teaching us how to listen at a dinner table. First, don't speak while you're chewing, okay? Keep your mouth closed. Second, don't interrupt when someone is speaking. We of course get excited, particularly children, but children learn how to listen by not interrupting. Well, in a certain way, are we not, in our adult journeys with Jesus, interrupting Jesus? Jesus might be trying to say something about the mystery of our life, and we're giving a whole truckload of problems, and we're not listening to that which is central. It's not to say we don't speak about those problems, but here, in those intimate moments with Christ, we are given the example of Mary, an empowered woman who's there at the seat beside Jesus. Of course, John's gospel takes it a bit further. It is Mary who is the first one to witness the resurrection. This was the strongest disciple of all because she learned to listen. Brothers and sisters, we are called similarly. We are called to be with Jesus. We are called to listen. And we are challenged by Jesus not to be so preoccupied that we miss the conversations that matter, that we miss the mysteries of our life, our journey, and the mysteries of our brothers and sisters' journeys in life. What we ultimately need to do is what a good mother says. Don't interrupt Jesus while he's speaking to you.